I'm Austin Meek of Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Corey Dickman. Corey is a serial entrepreneur in Waco, best known for his involvement with Waco Escape Rooms and Nexus Esports. We'll hear about how following his passions brought Corey small business success, and why he's particularly interested in the growing industry of podcasting. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank.
So my name is Becca McCormick, and I own Refine 31 Studio.
Refine 31 is a fitness studio in Woodway that specializes in two class types. Spin, which from what I can tell is indoor cycling while Justin Bieber tells you you're beautiful, and something called Bar, a hybrid workout that incorporates movements from ballet.
The way I describe it is kind of an upbeat version of Pilates, so you use a lot of your body weight.
One of the benefits of not being a dedicated cycle studio or yoga bar is that Becca can offer multiple exercise types, which provides variety for her clientele.
Our newest class is called Bounce, so it's on a mini trampoline, which is super fun. That's been our most popular class by far.
Refine 31's membership skews female, and many of those women are also mothers. The studio has become a safe haven for moms, something that was very important to Becca as she entered motherhood herself.
It's been so cool to see, especially now stepping into the mom role. This is my escape, so I get why moms can't miss their workout, because so many times you're giving and giving and giving to your family, and to have that hour where this is just your time to de-stress and take care of yourself.
About 4 months ago, the McCormicks were blessed with their son, Paul. Juggling parenting and business can be problematic, and Becca has used the opportunity to refine her time management practices.
It definitely makes me be more productive with my time that is supposed to be work time, because I don't just have all day every day to do it anymore. I have to be really intentional with my work time because I want to be really intentional with him when I get home.
Honestly, Becca's biggest problem right now is that there's more demand for classes than she has supply. She may eventually absorb a neighbor to pick up extra square footage, but for now, she's getting creative with what she has.
Thankfully, we have two rooms, a bar room and a bounce room and a spin room, so we can have two classes going on at once. But I wish we had more space to fill, to have more people in each class and more space for our retail that we carry here. But it's a good problem to have, and I'm thankful for it.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and 4th. The head chef at Milo All Day, located downtown on Franklin Avenue, is Corey McIntyre, who stops by occasionally for the Chef's Corner, where he tells us what is fresh and in season. Chef, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you doing? Good to see you again.
Man, it's good to see you. It's been too long. This is your first episode back in 2020, and we got a lot to catch up on. But first, I want to make sure our listeners know about the things that are fresh and seasonal here in McLennan County. What might people find at the farmer's market, or could they be growing in their own gardens right now?
Strawberries are really good right now. We're actually about to start doing a strawberry gazpacho at Milo. If you came to Valentine's Day, you got to have the strawberry gazpacho, and I think it really took people by surprise, because strawberries are always attributed to just being sweet. But with that gazpacho, is it able to show the savory side of strawberries?
So the springtime is particularly good for strawberries in Texas, is that right?
Yeah, you know, so I moved here from Nashville, Tennessee, and like the first January that we came across, some of the farmers sent me a list, and strawberries were on there, and I was like, no way. There's no way that's happening.
You didn't realize they were growing here?
No,
at that time.
Well, especially during January. But January, February, March, really beautiful strawberries coming out, blueberries, blackberries about to start coming in as well. So a lot of really fresh berries coming out of that winter citrus and apple season and into the berry season.
And how about veggies?
I'm really obsessed with sunchokes. I go back and forth on sunchokes. Like, sometimes I don't really want them at all. Sometimes that's all I want and put it on everything. They're part of the sunflower family. If you look at them, they look almost like like ginger. You can shave them thin and fry them, make them into chips. You can roast them and make them into a hash. You can peel them and make them into a puree. They're really, really versatile, almost to the level of like a parsnip. Has like a really nice like roasted vegetable flavor to it.
So a sunchoke and an artichoke are not the same thing. I guess my question is, what is a choke?
That's a really good question, actually. The only choke I know of is on a car, and you cannot drive with these things.
So we've got sun chokes. We've got lots of fresh fruit that are in season. What's another veggie that people might find?
You know, Sprigarello, part of the broccoli family. It's green leafy, really good creamed or sautéed. You can grill it. You might have seen rapini before in the grocery store at the farmer's market. All those are kind of in that same like leafy broccoli family where they're going to have a little bit of bitterness to it, but not quite to the level of like a turnip green or like a really fresh arugula. But a really good sauté or really good cream on it will is always a great side dish, especially with pork or fish.
In a couple weeks, you're going to be unveiling the spring menu at Milo where you're utilizing strawberries and sunchokes. And obviously, people can go there if they want to get fresh produce. But I want you to take a sec and shine the spotlight on some other restaurants in town. We haven't had you on the air here in 2020, so I want to know, what is the best thing that you have eaten so far this year?
I think one of the best dishes in Waco right now is the pulled pork pancake, I guess. It's just out of control.
So this is on the brunch menu, I guess?
This is on the brunch menu, I guess. It's so delicious. And, like, you know, they just threw their delicious pulled pork into a pancake and put some syrup on that thing. It's awesome. That's so tasty. And one of my stalwarts, is that the right word? My things that I always go to?
Yeah, the stalwart.
The stalwart, if I'm really craving pizza, I go to Moroso, get the marinara pizza, which is just their marinara sauce, some shaved garlic, a little, tiny little bit of Parmesan, and then they put some fresh anchovies on there for me. It's just to die for.
The chef supports other chefs in town. Therefore, you should feel good about eating at Milo, Guess, Moroso, or any of the other wonderful restaurants that we have in Waco. Find the places that are utilizing the fresh stuff, the amazing bounty that we have here in McLennan County. You can always find Chef Corey downtown at Milo all day. Chef, thank you so much for the Chef Corner.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm now joined in studio by Corey Dickman. Corey is a local small business owner with multiple things going on in Waco, and he's here to tell us a little bit about it. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Austin. Appreciate it, man.
First off, what is your Waco history?
My Waco history was back in, I guess the very first time I ever came to Waco was 2006 when I was touring Baylor. So I grew up in Portland, Oregon, is where I'm from, and looked at a bunch of schools, you know, West Coast, East Coast. I wanted nothing to do with the middle of the United States. And my mom was actually the one that kind of pushed me to apply to Baylor. And then we were down in Dallas for a marketing competition at our high school. So we drove down, toured Baylor, and just loved it. And I just fell in love. I wanted to be here. It was just one of those things where I went on a campus tour, and it hooked me. So I applied, got in, and then came down again for, like, orientation. And then freshman at Baylor, August of 2006. So that was what brought me to Waco.
Even when you were in high school, you had this bend. You're participating in a marketing competition outside yeah. of your home state.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I know, maybe some foresight there. But really, when I got to Baylor, I started pre-law. You know, I wanted to go be a lawyer or do something not in the business realm. My mom was an entrepreneur. I mean, had small businesses, and she was always that person. My dad was the 9-to-5. He's had the same job for, you know, 28 years kind of deal. And so I think my love for it kind of came from watching my mom and being an only child. I would run around with her everywhere, you know, doing homework at, she owned a scrapbook store when I was in high school. And we just, you know, like, all these things were just kind of following mom around. So after I graduated and then I stayed for grad school at Baylor, still was thinking I would get into, at that time had transitioned to sports management. So I wanted to, the dream job was working for ESPN. I wanted to be, you know, sports communications and broadcasting and all that stuff. And so I was going down that road, and then my mom got sick. And so I was pursuing a job, had to basically stay home because I had to take care of her. My dad was still working. And then when my mom passed away, it was just like dad and I were kind of looking at each other. Like, what do we do, you know? And so I moved back home to Portland, kind of just zombie mode. You know, you just kind of wake up, eat, go to bed. You know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to pursue. And my best friend Jared at the time had started the first escape room that we were involved with is up in Jackson, Tennessee. So he calls me and says, hey, like, you know, it was basically started out of a university. So it wasn't really even a legit business at that point. but was saying, hey, it's going well. You know, Jackson's a small town, kind of like Waco. It's Jackson's probably Tennessee's version of Waco. So that's kind of what brought us. He said, hey, let's start it in Waco. Move back. Like, you need something. You know, I needed something to kind of get out of the rut. And so anyway, I can't remember what your original question was now, Austin, but that's what brought me back to Waco. So I left for 2 years, went, took care of mom, was back in Portland with my dad, and then came back in 2015 to start the Waco Escape Rooms. And I feel like at that point, I felt like a Wacoan then. You know, if you're at Baylor, you know, I was there for, you know, 6.5 years between undergrad and grad school. You feel like you're a Baylor student living in Waco, you know. But then in 2015, I was like, oh, now I think I'm a Waco resident, you know. And then there's that college across the freeway, but now I'm like a Waco person. So I don't know.
You're involved in so many different businesses in town that people are familiar with but might not know that you were directly in.
Sure.
Can you give us a 30,000-foot view of what you're working on currently?
Yeah, sure. So still, you know, heavily involved with Waco Escape Rooms in the sense of just kind of a global aspect. You know, we have a really good general manager, and her name's Abby. She's been there with me since day one, you know, so that's just somebody that worked with me side by side, understands, like, my expectations and knows kind of where we started, you know, where we were going, where we came from, where we're going. So Waco Escape Rooms is still, you know, a big thing that I spend time with, but not as much, you know, day to day. And then kind of as we started, time goes on and started developing out some other things and investing in some other Waco businesses. It's pretty much Waco Pedal Tours was the next one down the list.
And those are the fun bikes where lots of people are on it. You can
pedal
see
bikes,
riding around.
Yeah, 16 passenger. We have a 14 passenger and a 16 passenger. Yeah, the party bikes that drive around downtown that hopefully don't break down when you're on a tour. And then next up probably was Nexus at that point, Nexus Esports, which is the competitive video game venue here in town, which was kind of more of a cutting edge industry, something that Jared, my partner with the escape room, my best friend, him and I were just huge esports fans. You know, we're big gamers. We're just really competitive people, but we love that. And so honestly, I wanted to start that on a smaller scale than what we did, just because I'm more of a ease into it kind of business owner.
And this is downtown at 6th and Columbus.
6th and Columbus. Yeah. Huge space. Very beautiful. Our partner Zach, was the one that he's the majority partner in that business. And was just like, hey, let's just run with it. So we kind of shot for the moon there, and it's been good. I think it's been slow going. You know, it's definitely something we're continually like educating people on. You know, they understand what a sport is, but they don't. You put the letter E in front of it, and it just confuses everybody.
So is that a place where people go to play competitive video games like League of Legends, Fortnite, whatever,
Overwatch, yeah, Fortnite? They can go play. So we have a membership. It's a monthly membership. You can just go game whenever you want. We're also hosting a lot of tournaments, and we're trying to have it be more Texas, more regional tournaments than just local, just because there's only so many people you can pull from in Waco, and there aren't many people in Texas, really in the United States, doing this. And so, again, it's just one of those things where I wanted to get into it, and I understood it was going to be probably a 10, 20-year play, not just this, hey, we're going to build it, and in 3 months get our money back. You know, it was, you know, we're playing this for the long game. So, but that was Nexus, and that was the next one up. And then I'm trying to go in progressive order. Bittersweet. So when you interviewed Hannah Austin, Baylor student, started a cookie business out of Heritage Creamery. And so when I was working at Startup Waco in Hustle downtown, somebody had come to me and said, hey, you got to meet this student. She's in the incubator at Baylor. She's basically selling cookies out of Heritage. And they knew that we had did a very awful attempt at a cookie business called Hibernation Cookies. And the reason you never heard of it is because it didn't go anywhere. But that was about 2.5 years ago. One of our employees at the escape room was going to be our baker. And I just love cookies. Like, if there's one dessert that I will just continuously eat, is just cookies. Like, I used to just go to Pokio's and just get the chocolate chip cookies. Like, and they were like, do you want mint chocolate chip on there? I'm like, well, sure, but I just want the cookies. So anyway, Hibernation failed horribly, and we could talk about, I would love to talk about all the failures.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
That's a whole other conversation. But so they knew about that. So they said, hey, you need to meet this girl because her cookies are, they're amazing. She has this huge Instagram following. I think she wants to break away from Hibernation and Heritage, not Hibernation, do her own thing. And so I went over there with Jared, and we tried to meet her, and she was just so busy. Like, she just kept running out like a frantic person. delivering cookies to the customers at the front counter. And so I knew I wasn't going to talk to her then, but we got her number. We set up a meeting, and we had the space next to Sergio that had access to the kitchen. And so we were just going to, honestly, that was going to be my office because it was across the street from Hustle. And so my contract with Startup Waco had ended. And so, again, that's a whole other conversation too. But I just loved that area. And I kind of, everything I'm involved in was kind of around Austin Avenue. And so that was just going to be my office. But we had the kitchen. So I talked to Hannah and said, hey, like, you know, here's what a partnership agreement could look like if you want to come on board with us. And this could be your storefront with access to the kitchen. And so that was pretty much we just clicked. You know, she's probably, she's 22 now. I could see myself in her, like she's just going. You know, she just has her head down, going. So anyway, that was hybrid. That was bittersweet.
It seems like you have a almost preternatural sense for finding what is the distinguishing thing that can make this business different from other businesses in Waco. You've done that with Nexus Esports, and you've made a really interesting play with Rogue Media.
Yeah. Rogue Media was definitely one of those things where I guess it started with a conversation with Nate Embry. Nate was like, well, maybe I just host it. Maybe I take it over, you know? And so that was, that never happened, obviously. But that's kind of what started the thinking of, well, maybe there could be like a podcasting network that in essence doesn't have its own show per se, but it just houses all the shows that people want to do.
So you and your partners have run a competition where you've been sourcing potential podcast ideas from people in the community, and you're going to be rolling those out here in 2020.
The lineup has already started going. I know we've set up production dates, basically when they'll come in and record their pods. Mike Hamilton is just a huge aspect of this, you know, working with us, and he's done such a good job. He's probably put in most of the time and the legwork and setting up the competition and meeting with all the potential people running their pods. And so that's been great. Garrett Simmons is on board, just basically doing production for us, editing the pods and things like that. But it's exciting. It's, again, one of those things where I told Mike, like, hey, there's no pressure here. Like, we're not under we'll fund it. I don't really care. Like, there's not an amount we need to be hitting month one, you know, or we can't do this anymore. It's just basically like, let's see where this goes. And here's the vision for it. And let's see if we can make steps towards it. And if we can, it's okay. But if we can, I mean, this could be something pretty cool.
You're hearing from Corey Dickman, a local small business owner here in Waco. He's discussing Rogue Media, which is a podcast company that he's recently started. The big question with podcasting that I get all the time is, how do you make money off of this? Of course, people want to turn something from a hobby into a hustle. And is the idea with Rogue that you would have lots of different podcasts, one about Waco hip hop, one about local real estate, whatever it might be, and you can package those together and sell advertising through the podcast? How do you think about that?
When we were meeting about this, and anytime you kind of take an idea, it's either becomes a business or maybe it's a creative idea or something, and you want to monetize it, I think that's always, it changes. The life force of it becomes different. It maybe is not as exciting anymore because it's stressful or yada, yada. But it's the conversation we need to have because it's like, well, we're not just doing this for fun, even though we have fun with it, but what does this look like to generate revenue? And so that low-hanging fruit is always, let's advertise off it. You know, let's say we have different reach into these different demographics in town, and we'll have the same, you know, sponsor for these shows or the same, you know, hey, we'll bring in a bank or we'll bring in this food place and they'll be talked about on, you know, like you were saying, on the Realtor pod and then maybe put it on Hip Hop pod. And this guy, you know, there was this one podcast that he actually left town and he was one of the winners of the competition, but he was going to do, he was going to go and review one star. It was called One Star Review, and he was going to go one star reviews at local businesses, bring in the business owner and talk about what happened on that review.
Oh.
So he was going to read the review and then give the business owner a chance to like explain themselves.
That's sort of like Mean Tweets with Jimmy Fallon.
Like Mean Tweets with Jimmy Fallon. And so he got a job in like Dallas. So he left and like literally 3 days after he was one of the winners. And I'm like, that was the one I went up to him. I was like, I'm so excited. Can I be your first one? Like, you go to Waco Escape Rooms Google reviews, like, you'll find some good one stars. And I'm like, please bring me on there. So anyway, that didn't happen. So someone needs to do that. But But yeah, I mean, that is kind of the low-hanging fruit, saying, listen, marketing, and let's do that. I know we can be more creative with it, I want to see how this develops out first before we kind of pigeonhole ourselves into saying, hey, you know, $300 gets you a shout-out, you know, at the beginning of, you know, pick these four podcasts that you like and which ones do you think reach your demographics, and then just give us a check every month. You know, I know we can get more creative with it. I'm just kind of anxious to see what our reach ends up even being. You know, I just want to give the team the ability to be creative and not get stressed about the numbers and stress about the money behind it.
You're not allowed to mention Magnolia. What, in your opinion, are the factors that are contributing to such a sprightly entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Waco? It seems like an amazing place to start a business, and it has been for a few years now.
Oh, yeah. No, I and kind of one of the few, and outside of, you know, maybe your schmaltzes and some others that I just can't think of off the top of my head that have been here for a long time, long before, you know, the shop on Bosque opened up for Magnolia or the silos downtown. You know, I kind of get to claim a little bit that we started before the silos opened. So that was kind of one nice thing, even though we had our grand opening planned the same day they had their grand opening, and we moved it. It was Halloween of 2015. So we moved it back one weekend just because we didn't want to steal their shine, Austin. You know, I'd hate to do that to Chip and Joe. Yeah. So, but I think what the boom or whatever you want to call it is, I think Waco was just a town that had a lot of needs that needed to be filled. And there was Baylor pulls a lot of students. TSDC and MCC are amazing colleges in their own rights as well, in the fields that they participate in. And so there's a lot of really accomplished younger people that want to stay in town. But you and I both know the job market here is not great. I mean, there's, you know, my best friend's first job, he had a master's in psychology. His first job was in Dallas working at NationStar Mortgage, literally as like, I don't even know what he did, but he got paid like $35,000 a year and just did underwrote mortgages or something. But in his office were probably 200 22-year-olds that their first job out of college, regardless of degree, was working there. And I don't, unless I'm uninformed right now, I don't think there's a company like that in Waco that just cycles through 200 to 300 jobs for just kids with graduate degrees, you know, or associate degrees that don't know what they want to do with their life, but they can just work there to figure it out. So Waco, you almost have to kind of do it yourself. You know, you have to come up with an idea, develop it out, and be a small business owner. And at the time, I think rents, you know, lease agreements, things like that were probably a little bit easier to come by and could take a chance. You know, our first lease agreement was, you know, on Lake Air. It was $2,500 a month, no triple nets. You know, it was a very favorable lease to get us off the ground. And so now you try to go find a lease that we had, it was a 2-year agreement. You're not gonna find it. Like, it just doesn't exist at this point. So I think back then, I think that was what drove a lot of growth. And then just so happened that there was more of a touristy feel.
Before we started talking, you had mentioned the word entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and that you feel a little sticky being labeled as an entrepreneur. What's your love-hate relationship with the term?
Yeah, no, I think sometimes it comes across like you don't actually work. You know, you're a dreamer, you know, you lay in bed, you sleep in, you know, you stay up late and you don't really make an income. You know, you're just, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, this is a fun idea and I'm going to try this for 6 months and it won't work. You know, and I think that it's just hard. I think that, and maybe I need to get over it. Maybe that's me. But I just think that, and I don't know why. I think the entrepreneur tag, maybe in some other cities, is, you know, you're developing out some tech idea or you're doing this in this big giant space. And, you know, there's VCs here that'll invest in this and that. And in Waco, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to start an axe throwing company and we're going to throw axes at wooden targets. And I'm an entrepreneur now, you know, and it's like, okay, well, how's that going to go? You know, so I think I need to get over it. But I think sometimes that's the connotation that you're not doing anything. You're just kind of you want to be a kid a little bit longer maybe or something. That's not
if true. Someone were calling you an entrepreneur based on your work with Hibernation Cookies,
yeah,
this might be right. If they're calling you an entrepreneur based on your work with Nexus or Waco Escape Rooms, I think they would have a much more charitable view.
I think, and maybe they would. And, you know, I think I tether the line of like, oh, wow, that guy's doing good work, and oh, that guy might be insane, you know. So I don't know, maybe that's a good place to be, but it's been a good ride, and I've enjoyed it. It's these conversations, you know, getting to know like people like you, Austin, and others that have been in this community that are, you know, own a business or maybe they're in insurance or whatever, but they're committed to the town and they're doing their thing and they're impacting people in other ways too. And I think that was almost at the escape rooms. It was probably 6 months in, we had started, and I was just like kind of getting antsy. You know, we had done well, which was great, and was like, but what else do we do? Like, what else do I need to do with my time? You know, and what are other ways to impact? And so I always just wanted to, how do I empower other people or help them or show them, hey, this is the blueprint. This is where I made a bunch of mistakes, or these are the two things we did right. You know, maybe try to do these two things and don't do these other eight or something. And then working with Startup Waco was probably the eye opener. Was, okay, there are people that want to come into town, are tired of their job they've been doing, or they moved here and they want to start an art gallery, or they want to do something, but they need help. You know, they you know, everybody at the end of the day needs money, but what more, you know, do they need advice on how to do their accounting, or what do I market? Who am I marketing to, or how do I hire employees? That's probably like, you know, you and I could probably talk days on that, but it's just like hiring people, like, brutal, you know. And if you got to then fire someone and retrain, I mean, it's hard on a small business. And so all these things are just always what interests me and keep me going.
For listeners who are inspired by your story, have been to your businesses and like supporting them, and are trying to take a page out of your playbook, yeah, what suggestions would you have for them if they do want to take this small business route? Are there podcasts that you listen to? Is there a mentor, yeah, that you have?
Yeah, I probably need that in my life. I am so bad. I don't, like I said, I listen to The Ringer, which is just sports stuff. It's just like helps me turn my brain off, I think. You know, I don't read. I probably should read, Austin. I don't do that. I probably need
the information that comes out of your mouth is only as good as the information that you put into your
brain.
That's
very true. Yeah. You know, needing a mentor, you know, my dad is probably the closest thing to a mentor, but again, he's, you know, same job for, you know, X amount of years, and he's, you know, he was married to an entrepreneur, but not one really himself. And so you know, those kind of, I would say I'm always an experiential person. You know, you can learn so much by reading or listening or talking. Really dive in and try to have plan B through Z planned out just in case. You know, I think that's always my mentality at things. You know, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, there was one person that comes to mind when I was working at Startup Waco where, you know, she was ready to do her business, but she probably spent 3 months getting the LLC, you know, having her Facebook page set up, her website. And it was like, okay, well, have you made a sale yet? Or have you talked to anyone? No, not yet, but I'm getting there. And it's like, oh, just dive. Just jump in. Let's just see what happens. And so I would say if you have something, you know, plan it out. You know, put even like a business plan. It doesn't need to be this 500-page business plan, but at least write down what you're trying to do, who you're trying to market to, you know, and take a little bit of a leap, you know.
Corey Dickman is a local small business owner in Waco. Thank you so much for telling your story here on Downtown Depot.
No problem, Austin. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ramble.
Thanks again to Corey Dickman, Becca McCormick of Refine 31, American Bank, Chef Corey McIntyre, and you for tuning in. I'll see some of you at tomorrow night's Pour'em Pub Crawl, which kicks off at Southern Roots Brewing at 7 p.m. And I'll be back here on Waco Public Radio, sharing small business stories on Friday, March 20th. I'm Austin Meek of Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.